Abels and Bears, it is Friday. It is April 28th, 2023. Thank you for joining me here. Some interesting things happening here. I've got this car dealer, car salesman from this dealership that's been calling me now for like, was it been 4 days since I did the report on the car dealership that tried to tack on a bunch of hidden charges on a vehicle that I went into test drive. Well, they've been calling me. So on one hand, you see the vehicle prices and you think, wow, it must be a seller's market, right? With all these high prices, people are buying cars left and right. And, you know, inventory is still kind of low. I'm not seeing a lot of vehicles for sale in my particular price range and the type of vehicle that I want with all the features that I want. So there's still not as much inventory as I remember there being, or not much selection as I remember that there was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I was last time shopping for a car. So I'm thinking, okay, it's a seller's market. This dealership's not going to bother calling me back. You know, when I left the car lot, I've been getting phone calls from this dealership and messages and text messages and phone calls, both, over the past several days here, every day. So is it a sign that these dealers are desperate? Do they want to, you know, make up for the fact that, you know, they try to do the bait and switch on me? They try to add on these hidden features into the vehicle that they didn't put in the price. So if you didn't see that video, the advertised price was not the price, because when I got there, they said, oh, by the way, the price is actually this because this car has these upgrades. We upgraded it. So they're trying to say that they added on upgrades after they put it up for sale or after they put the price out there. Well, if you did that, then just add that into the price. Don't just put the lower price out there to get people into the lot, gets people into the dealership, and then tell them that these added features or added price. Anyways, it's kind of a sign to me. It's a kind of a sign of desperatism, maybe. What do you think about that? You know, several days they've been calling. Now, as I'm recording this, we're only about 8 minutes to market close here, and we've got all major indexes in the green. We've got the biggest gainer of the day is the Russell 2000, up almost a full percentage point today. S&P 500 up about 0.6%. Dow Jones up about 0.6%, NASDAQ up about 0.5%. Where is the good news, right? There are some companies out there reporting earnings, some better than expected. The profits are up in some companies, but there's a lot more bad things happening than good things. The banking sector is in complete meltdown mode right now. And even banks that are reporting profits are actually insolvent when you look at how much money they have in deposits versus how many loans they've given out, or how many dollars worth of loans they've given out, right? So just because they're showing earnings doesn't mean that everything is fine under the surface. Remember, these banks are leveraged. They're loaning out money they don't have. Of course, they're going to report profits, but that doesn't factor in the losses on their books, which they need to do something called mark to market, where the value of their assets or their bundle of loans, their loan portfolio, where that's actually marked to what it's worth right now. Because a mortgage given out at 3%, a lot of times they'll go out and sell these things to investors. But now, who's going to invest in something that's got a 3% return on it from a mortgage that was given out a year and a half ago, right? So the assets in these banks' books have lost value. The banks are leveraged. They're loaning out money they don't have. All the banks are insolvent. It's just a matter of enough people trying to pull their money out at once before you find out, you know, when the bank is in trouble. And now we see another bank that's on basically life support right now. It's going to be possibly taken over or rescued in some manner. And we're talking about First Republic Bank. And we warned about this stuff years ago. People said we were crazy. The banks were fine. The banks are making money hand over fist because, you know, they don't give you anything for money that you put in their accounts. Maybe a fraction of a percent. Now it's actually a little higher, but back, you know, over the last 10 years, it's been a fraction of a percent of a return that you get on your money that you deposit into these institutions. And people were looking at that and they're saying, okay, well, they're loaning out money. They're giving out car loans at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, giving out mortgages at 3, 4, 5%. They've got to be making tons of money. Well, sure, they're making profits. Where do the profits go? To the CEO, stock buybacks. So certain people that have a lot of the stocks can you know, make more money for themselves. And we know that about 90% of all stocks are owned by the top 10%. So who gains the most out of these stock buybacks? Well, it's the top 10% because they own about 90% of all stocks. But the consumer is not doing well. The consumer's tapped out, and this game doesn't end well. So a consumer broke and a company making profits can't last forever because they have to get their profits from the consumer. And a lot of it's leverage profits as well. Money given out, people taking on debt, people carrying debt from month to month, not paying off their credit cards, going further in debt, but yet they're still spending money at these companies. So the companies are, of course, reporting profits, but the spending cannot last forever when people get so far into debt that they'll never get back out. And now with the rising interest rates, and we're not going to get out of 2023 without even a more severe crisis and economic collapse than we're seeing right now. I said last year, 2023, everything's going to start coming apart. And the bank collapse has begun. And, people remember me saying that last year. Well, here we are, and it's happening. Is it happening as fast as some people expected? No, some people expected it to be a much more bigger, severe crash. But most people never expected anything like this to happen at all. They thought the problem was solved after 2008. Now let's talk about the car loan thing for a minute, because I saw a couple of people down in comments were commenting about my video that I did about the car dealership. I talked about getting financed, and some people say you should pay cash for the car. You should never finance a car. Well, it depends. It depends on what you're going to do with the cash, right? So if you have a 6% car loan, but instead of choosing the car loan, you pay cash. So you're out of whatever it is, $20,000, $30,000, depending on the price of the vehicle. What if you could have invested that cash and made 10%? What if you could have made 20%? What if you could have made 50%? So it's not always a good idea to pay cash for something, especially if the interest rate is kind of low, unless you're not investing, obviously. But if you're investing and you can make a return bigger than what you're paying in interest, you're still making more money, because it's pretty bad to not have any money. So I remember paying off debt in 2020 because I knew what was going to happen with the economy. I didn't know the rescue programs were going to be as big as they were, but I was kind of a concern. So I paid off debt. I didn't know if I was going to lose my job. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get out of debt. Felt pretty good. But then when the stock market crashed and when a lot of stocks went on sale, I didn't have that much money to invest because I had paid off debt with it. So if you have debt that's low interest rate or not that high, sometimes it's better. For example, I remember buying ExxonMobil stock back in 2020 when oil prices collapsed at the initial onset of the health crisis. And I remember telling myself I was stupid for paying down debt because now I don't have enough money to invest. And since that time, that stock tripled. It tripled in value. So I lost out on a lot of money by having no debt, by not having as much to invest in stocks, right? So it's always good to have some cash. Now, if you're paying 20% on a credit card, obviously it's going to be hard to invest and make a return bigger than 20%. So I wouldn't be carrying debt with that high of an interest rate. So I just kind of wanted to share that because, mistakes that I've made, I want to put it out there so you don't make the same mistake, right? It's nice to be out of debt, yes, but it's also not nice to not have any money to invest when buying opportunities come up. The same thing with keeping your credit good. And, what if there is a major housing market correction, but then you can't qualify for a loan? The home you wanted a couple years down the line, if it's half price or, even close to a big drop like that, and you don't have a job and your credit's all dinged up from late payments, you can't get approved for a mortgage, you don't have the cash to buy the home in cash. So now that's not a good feeling, is it? So you got to navigate this, in a smart way. And I don't have all the answers, but I can share with you, what I've done right, what I've done wrong. And to me, paying off debt and paying cash for things that you can finance at a low interest rate is it's a mistake if you're an investor. Now, if you're not an investor, then it doesn't matter because you're not going to make a return on the money anyways. I guess if you put money now in a CD, you can get like 4.5% of some of these banks. Some even close to 5% from what I've seen. So that still really doesn't justify, financing a vehicle because you're just going to be breaking even, right? So if you finance a car, but you have $20,000 in the bank making 5% a year, you're going to be about break even because the rates are pretty close to the same. Now, I've been seeing some car dealers come in at 7%. 8%, even for someone with good credit. Someone with bad credit or subprime, they're going to be in at 12, 14, 15%, sometimes even higher, which is crazy ridiculous. And a lot of people are underwater in their vehicles. We see vehicle prices started coming down at the end of last year into this year, they went up. They had a bump, I believe, in March. I think that was kind of a tax return bump as far as car prices going up a little bit. But now they're resuming back down, according to the Manheim Used Vehicle Index. And we'll have to see what it is when it comes out in May for the month of April. But it looks like it's a resumed downward as far as vehicle prices. Now, for people that are saying, you know, not much is happening in the economy, we're just getting into this credit crunch. The banks, the big bank failures that happened this year, just happened last month in the month of March. So we're just getting started, right? So as far as big ticket items, maybe it was good that I didn't buy that car. Maybe it was good that the dealership was shady, because you know, maybe that happened for a reason, because maybe that price is going to be half price by the end of the year. Maybe that vehicle will be half price by the end of the year, right? I'm not predicting that type of collapse, because they can always print money and prop up different industries, different sectors. But the possibility is certainly there, unless there's a rescue. You know, we have the Fed out there supposedly unwinding their balance sheet of $9 trillion. You know, this whole economy is insolvent. Another thing that I hear out there is that, oh, people are paying for this, taxpayers are paying for, you know, all these expenditures. Well, not really. If taxpayers were actually paying for it, we wouldn't have $30 trillion in debt. And even if you drained everyone's savings account, what's the savings accounts total, 18 trillion now, 17, 18 trillion. Even if you drained everyone's savings account, you still couldn't pay off the national debt. So no, taxpayers are not paying for it. It's all debt that's being run up. It's money being spent that doesn't exist or that's borrowed. And this whole thing is running on debt, right? So if we see a credit crunch, our lives are drastically going to change. And, you know, we just need to be there in the right situation, holding the right hands for good opportunities, you know, coming down the road. Have some cash, also have some investments in case we do see exploding inflation. Because, you know, anything could happen, and we might see a combination of both. We might see deflation over there and inflation over here, maybe even hyperinflation over here. You know, we'll have to see. We still have a whole new digital currency system that's yet to be implemented this year. It's happening. It's being implemented now, and it's rolling out here. So that's going to be something that we've never seen happen here. So we're in uncharted territory, folks. We're in, things unseen, times unseen. And nobody knows exactly how this is going to play out here. So we're just going to keep an eye on it for you. We're going to keep, navigating this the best we can. We're going to keep bringing you the news. And hope you guys enjoy this report. If you like what we talk about here, please support the channel. Give us a like, give us a subscribe. Help keep us operational here. Thank you all very much. We'll probably see you on the weekend at some point here with another report, another update. We'll see everybody then. Hope everybody's well. Talk to you very soon.